good afternoon. Welcome to our weekly Halacha Shia here at the Chutz Chesed Yeshiva. We are 2 weeks, a bit less than that, 2 weeks away from Uman Rosh Hashanah. The time, the clock is counting down. Baruch Hashem, may we all have the schus to meet together at Rabbeinu in his holy tzion in Uman. We were speaking last week about Birchos HaShachar. We explained how the structure of Birchos HaShachar is, what does one say at the beginning, at the end. Today we're going to go more into the halachas of Birchos HaShachar, and we're going to start first of all with one very important rule that nearly all the poskim say. One has to bench the brachas out of a siddur. It is told that once someone went to Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and asked him, I want a segula to have children who will be righteous children. And Rav Shach said to him, if you want to have a segula to have righteous children, very simple segula, Birkas HaMazon, when you bench, after you finished eating bread, say it out of a siddur. Interestingly, Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Taf Gimel 403 says that he has a Kabbalah from his teachers that anyone who says Birkas HaMazon slowly, with intent, will have great Yeshuas. So Rav Shach says there's a big inyan of saying Birkat HaMazon specifically out of a siddur. And the poskim says the same thing with Birchos HaShachar. One should say it out of a siddur. Many times one gets confused, one forgets, did I say this bracha? Didn't I say this bracha? Not only that, but when you say it in front of a siddur, it compels you to stop what you're doing and to look in the siddur and concentrate on Birchos HaShachar. When you're saying it by heart, then at the same time you can be tidying your tie, or combing your hair, or making sure that you look fine before you go out to shul, or doing some other things, or making your kids their drink in the morning, etc., etc. And the last thing you're thinking about is what you're saying. The Yerushalmi says, now why does this happen? The Yerushalmi says that even the Amoraim, when they used to daven Shmoneh Esrei, some of the Amoraim, they used to start saying Baruch Atah Hashem, saying the Bracha of Magen Avraham, and then suddenly they've already reached Oseh Shalom Bimromav. Now, they said the beginning, they said the end, they do not know what happens in the middle. Why is that? The biggest segula in the world on concentrating on business is saying Shmona Esrei. There's no bigger segula on concentrating on your business or anything else that's got nothing to do with Yiddishkeit than standing and praying to Hashem and saying Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei is the Yetzer Hara's gift to you. He's going to do everything just that you don't concentrate on what you're saying. He will give you clarity of mind. All the business moves are suddenly, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I know what stocks I'm going to get, and I know exactly how I'm going to get the bed for Uman and where I'm going to stay. And I'm already planning it in advance. And oops, okay, tomorrow I'll try and do it again. It doesn't happen. Whenever we pray, whenever, and notice this, this is something unbelievable. Whenever we pray, whenever we say brachas, the Yetzer Hara is going to do everything in his power to make sure we don't concentrate on what we're saying. And many times we find that we're making a blessing, we don't even remember what we blessed. Someone once came to Rabbi Shmuel Salant, who used to be the chief rabbi here of Yerushalayim. Incredible Gaon, a big Talmid Chacham. And he said to him, Rabbi, I do not remember if I benched Birkas HaMazon on what I ate or not. And Rabbi Shmuel Salant said to him, I am 100% sure that you didn't eat what you're supposed to eat. You didn't eat your food, therefore you didn't make the blessing. So he went back to his house and he sees indeed the plate is still on the table, and the piece of bread is next to it he didn't eat. So he went back to Rav Shmuel Salant, and he says to him, Rabbi, tell me, how do you have such Ruach HaKodesh to know that I didn't eat anything? I mean, I didn't come to ask you, did I eat? I asked you, did I make the bracha? Didn't I make the bracha? And Rav Shmuel Salant says, I know you, that you are such a holy Talmid Chacham. There's no chance that you will bench Birkas HaMazon and not remember that you bench Birkas HaMazon. So if you don't remember, it means that you didn't bench. If you didn't bench, that means that you didn't eat. Now that applies to someone in Rabbi Shmuel Salant's generation and a big Talmid Chacham, as he testifies, that does not apply to us. Most of the times when our shaila is when we come to Rabbi and say, Rabbi, did we bench or didn't we bench? That's a very, very bad shaila. You see, we had the bench and we can't remember it, or we didn't bench. And it happens to us. And that's why the poskim say the segula is always say the brachas and bench out of the siddur. Same thing with Birkos HaShachar. Dedicate 5 minutes to say Birkos HaShachar out of the siddur. What happens to someone who didn't say Birkos HaShachar before davening? This happens. Many times, someone forgets. He didn't say all Birkos HaShachar before davening. Now, here we come to a problem. There are three brachas out of Birkas HaShachar which you can't say after you've davened. The first bracha is Al Nefilas Yadayim. You're not allowed to bench anymore Al Nefilas Yadayim if you finish davening Shachris. Because one of the reasons that we benched Al Nefilas Yadayim is we're supposed to wash our hands before davening Shachris. In other words, this is a preparation. Just like we said, the priests had to wash their hands and feet before going on to their daily chores in Beis HaMikdash. And since we said that Shachris is resembled and is instead of the daily chores in Beis HaMikdash of sacrificing Korban Tamid, the sacrifice that was sacrificed in Beis HaMikdash in the morning, so washing our hands is connected to davening Shachris. Once we've finished davening Shachris, you can't bench anymore in Knesset Adayim. You've missed the bracha. There are two other brachas, which is a very big machloikis, whether we are allowed to bench or we're not allowed to bench them. And one of them is Elokai Neshama. And the other one is Birkos HaTorah. Why? Because Elokai Neshama, says Tam Poiskim, you already benched in Shmoneh Esrei, you said Mechaye Amesim. Elokai Neshama, you're talking about how Hashem revived your soul, but you said in Shmoneh Esrei, thank you Hashem for reviving the dead. And that speaking all applies also to you. So, who said you're allowed to bench now Elokai Neshama after davening? Birkos HaTorah, why can't we bench them? Because some poskim say, you said Ahavat Olam. The blessing that we say right before Kriyat Shema is, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for learning Torah. You said Ahavat Olam. So who says that you are now allowed to bench now Birkos HaTorah? So these are three blessings that if you bench them, you miss out on them. Why do you miss out on them? Because even when we're in doubt, whenever it comes to bracha, we have a rule. And the rule is, Sabal. Samech Bet Lamed. Which is the initials of Sfek Brachot Lehakel. Whenever we're in doubt about a bracha, we will not say that bracha. Now, Sfarim are much more machmir about it than Ashkenazim, and the reason is because there's a big machloikis between Sfarim and Ashkenazim, is saying a bracha in vain, and saying Hashem's name in vain, is it something forbidden from the Torah, or something that's only forbidden from Divrei Chachomim? The Gemara says in Tractate Brachos on the 33rd page that anyone who says a bracha unnecessarily, the Gemara says lo tisai shem Hashem Elokecha l'shav. Sorry, it's on the 35th page on the first side. The Gemara says it's an issa of lo tisai shem Elokecha l'shav. Now, lo tisai shem Hashem Elokecha l'shav is the issa that appears in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear your God's name in vain. Looking at the Gemara, one would say, indeed, this is something forbidden from the Torah. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, on the 25th chapter, he indeed brings this, as this is something forbidden from the Torah. And the Shulchan Aruch, who brings this whole Issa in Siman Resh Tetvav, he quotes the Rambam word by word, and therefore says, Maran HaRavadya Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rambam holds that saying a bracha in vain is an Issa from the Torah, and the Shulchan Aruch paskan the Rambam, who disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, on the 33rd page, second side, say that the Gemara only brought this not as a law to say that saying a bracha in vain is something forbidden from the Torah, it's only to correlate between the psukim. It's what's called in the Gemara language, asmachta. What is an asmachta? To strengthen my point, I'm going to bring you some proof from the Torah. It doesn't mean that it's forbidden from the Torah, but in order to validate what I'm saying, I'm gonna cling it on to some verse in the Torah for you to understand how severe it is. Now, just an example, where do we have a ramification between Ashkenazim and Sfarim? Someone on Tisha B'Av accidentally forgot it was a fast, took a cup of water, and started saying the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Niyo Bidvaro. Uh-oh, he suddenly remembers, wait, this is a fast day. What do I do? Now, Tisha B'Av is a machloikis, whether Tisha B'Av is from Divrei Kabbalah, which means whether Tisha B'Av is from the Nevi'im, and that's indeed what the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Aleph, or whether it is something forbidden from Divrei Chachomim, only from Drabonon, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch himself writes in Siman Taf Kuf Nun Dalet. Whatever happens, it's obvious that Tisha B'Av is not a fast from the Torah. According to the Sfarim, that saying a bracha in vain is something forbidden from the Torah, you have to drink after you made the bracha of Shehakol Niyo Bidvaro. Because it is much more severe not to drink and saying a bracha in vain than drinking something on a fast. A fast is either from Divrei Kabbalah, from the prophets, or from Drabonon, and saying a bracha in vain is forbidden from the Torah. What is more severe? Saying a bracha in vain. So if you accidentally benched and said, Baruch Atah Hashem Shehakol Niyo Bidvaro on a fast day, unless it's Yom Kippur, you drink. According to Ashkenazim, saying a bracha in vain is only drabonim. which means it is at least parallel to Tisha B'Av, or maybe even Tisha B'Av is more severe because Tisha B'Av is from Divrei Nevi'im. Therefore, according to Ashkenazim, even if you made a bracha, you do not drink. You immediately afterwards say, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Va'ed, which is the verse that appears right after we say Shema Yisrael, which is what we say whenever we make a bracha in vain, and you don't say the bracha. Even though there is this argument between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim on how severe it is to say a bracha in vain, everyone agrees that when we are in doubt about a bracha, we have a rule of safek brachot lehakel. We are always, safek brachot lehakel means we will not say the bracha when in doubt. Which means if you forget to say Birkos HaShachar before davening, there are three brachas you're not able to say anymore. You can't say Al Netilas Yadayim, you can't say Birkos HaTorah, and you can't say Elokai Neshama. Therefore, even when someone feels that he's really uptight for time, and he doesn't have time to say all Birkos HaShachar, you at least have to say those three brachas before davening, because after Shacharis, you're allowed to complete other brachas. You're allowed to say Hanoten HaSechli Bina, and all the other brachas. So at least say before davening, if you don't have time, at least say Antilas Yadayim, Elokai Neshama, and Birkos HaTorah. We spoke about Birkat Asher Yatzar. Even though we say Birkat Asher Yatzar, it appears in the Siddurim to say before we daven, that is a bracha that we say all day long whenever we go to the bathroom. Now, Yiddishkeit is called Torah Schaim. In other words, a Torah of life. Why of life? Because it guides us in every single path in our lives. We also have laws how we are supposed to behave when we go to the bathroom. And even though to some people it might sound funny, what, how come in a shiur here we're talking about laws of how we're supposed to behave when going to the bathroom? The answer is yes. Every single aspect of a Jew's life is considered to be something holy, something sacred. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes in the Kutei Maharan, in Torah Yud Zayin, the 17th Torah, that even when a Yid does a movement with his peah to move it, this brings Hashem great nachas ruach. Every single action that we make can either be something directed to spirituality and to good, or can be directed to something bad. We now understand the immense power that we have as human beings. We can create worlds and destroy worlds with a simple action. Now, if you think that that is ununderstandable, I'd like to give you two examples. Okay? Example number one. There was a virus which, in the year 2003, that virus was sent out over the internet. If I'm not mistaken, the virus was called Crazy Bunny. Now, I'm not so sure if that was the name, it was called Crazy Bunny. Do you know what the size of that virus was? How big the virus, the code, the actual source code of the virus? Do you know how many bytes that virus took? Take a guess. Take a guess. We're talking about 1.5 kilobytes. That's minute. That's nothing. In the world of computers, that's tiny. And that virus managed to destroy thousands of computers. Okay? Example number one. Example number two. Story. Simple story. I have a friend, a good friend of mine, used to learn in yeshiva. He left yeshiva because of one little sentence that one of his rabbis told him. He asked a kasha in one shiur, and the rabbi said to him, that is a stupid shaila. In Hebrew, it's even shorter. It's three words. Zo she'ela tipshit. Three words. Because of those three words, my friend left yeshiva. He's not in yeshiva anymore. He's not learning. His relationship with Rabbonim is a bit complicated because of that. Three words that destroyed a life. We have examples like that. Everyone can give examples of how some small thing can destroy or build. It's the same thing with Yiddishkeit. Every small action that we make can destroy worlds or can build worlds. Therefore, we also have laws of how to behave when we're in the bathroom. We're now going to go over several of them. Rule number one, sneers, being modest, is something that also applies in the bathroom. What does that mean? We have got to think, Melo chol haaretz kevodo. Hashem, He's everywhere at once. Melo chol haaretz kevodo, the whole land, the whole earth, is filled with Hashem's glory. Hashem is with us. He's to my right, He's to my left, He's in front of me, He's behind me, He's above me, He's everywhere. Even when we go to the bathroom, Hashem is there. Now, imagine if you had to go to the bathroom and you were having a business meeting in the bathroom. Now I understand that it's not exactly very acceptable, but if someone else was in the bathroom with us, we would behave in a proper, decent manner. We have to think that Hashem is with us on every step. Now, one of the rules applying to that is, we're not allowed to reveal our body more than necessary. Okay? For example, you're not allowed to completely get undressed in the bathroom when you're going to the bathroom. No need for that. One has to behave modestly. Now, this might sound funny to some people, but this is one of the essences of Yiddishkeit, because it means that at every single moment, we are thinking and feeling that Hashem is with us. And you all know that when people feel that someone else is watching over them, oh, they behave in a much proper way. Now, this is, I don't say this, the Gemara says this. The Gemara says in Tractate Brachos, on the 28th page, second side, that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was dying, his students came into him and they said to him, "Rabbi, please bless us. We'd like a blessing from you." And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said to him, "May you fear Hashem like you fear your fellow man." And he said to him, "Rabbi, that's it? We've got to fear Hashem just like we fear people?" He said to them, "I wish you would fear Hashem like you fear people." Why? Because no, when a person thinks that someone is looking over his shoulder, ooh, he behaves wonderfully. If a person would think that way about Hashem, everything would look different. Rabbi Yisrael Salant, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, used to tell a famous story. There was once a young Avrich got married. He was a Talmid Chacham, and his parents-in-law, who took it upon themselves to provide for him and for his young wife for the next five coming years, they gave him their attic, a special room where he had books. He could sit and learn there every single day in peace, tranquility, and grow in Torah. Unfortunately, this young son-in-law, even though he was very gifted, was not very diligent, and learning Torah was not exactly what he wanted to do. And what he liked doing is he liked reading newspapers, and reading novels, and reading books. Here and there, he used to hear this sound right outside his door. And he was certain it was either his father-in-law or mother-in-law coming to, you know, spy on him, seeing what he's doing. And immediately he used to open the Gemara and start reading, "Omar Raboye, Omar Robo," learning out loud so everyone can hear him. And this went on for years. And one day, he decided, well, it's about time, I'd like to see who's standing outside the door making the noise. And he opened the door and he sees the house cat. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta said, that's what's called learning because of fear of a cat. And that happens to all of us. We all fear human beings and what people will say about us and think about us much more than others. That's why we all put on masks when we step outside the house. We behave in a different manner. The Torah is telling us that same mask that you put on when you step outside the house because you'd like people to think of you in a certain manner, you need to put that mask on even when you're inside the house because someone is watching. Now, in our generation today, it's much easier to understand this concept of someone is watching. When you're having cameras every single moment, do you know how many times in court thieves are absolutely baffled? They can't understand what's going on. Why? Because, Your Honor, I wasn't there. Okay, does the prosecution have anything to say? "Yes, Your Honor, would like please to bring a recording from the surveillance camera that was next to there." And suddenly you see him on the widescreen, HD, full color, and exactly you see who he is and what he's doing. And then the judge turns to him and says, "What do you have to say in your defense?" And he goes, "Mercy." And that's it, and it's over. In our generation, we can understand what the Mishnah says, that an eye is always watching, an ear is always hearing, and everything is written down, because in the technological era, everything is recorded. That's the way we have to think in our everyday lives. Hashem watches, Hashem hears, Hashem is with us. So even when we go to the bathroom, we've got to behave in an appropriate manner. When we come out of the bathroom, we wash our hands. Now, there are different shittas on what we're supposed to do as we step out of the bathroom. We are going to speak about the Hasidic method. The Hasidim hold according to a book called Heichal HaKodesh. Heichal HaKodesh holds that even in the bathroom, there are negative spiritual influences that can affect a person. Therefore, every time a person steps out of the bathroom, he has to wash his hands 3 times. Okay? He has to wash his hands 3 times. And how do you wash your hands? Some say that you wash your hands like you wash in the morning. One, on right, left, right, left. But that's not what most people do. What most people do is they wash their hands 3 times. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. These are 2 different opinions. Those opinions among Hasidim. In Yeshiva here, what we hold, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you do it just like you do in the morning. right, left, right, left, right, left. Now, why am I bringing to the different shitas? Because even if you see someone doing something that is not your shita, don't comment. When I was a young man, I was a bocha, I once was at a wedding, and I went to wash my hands for the meal. Now, we in our house passed in according to Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Siman Mem, the 40th chapter, says, how are you supposed to wash your hands before the meal? You pour on the right hand, you pour on the left hand, you then rub your hands together, say the bracha, al netilas yadayim, and then you pour again on the right hand, pour on the left hand. That's what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says one has to do. Okay, so that's our minhag in our house. I went to the sink, I washed my hands, and suddenly there's like this young man, young yeshiva bocha, I hear him, I'm speaking out loudly, look at this, what he's doing, what an ignoramus, doesn't even a halacha. I'm telling you, these chavetim are constantly inventing all these different halachas. They don't know how to learn. Now, at that time, I was much more feisty, and I was more man of war. Until I came here to the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva, he tuned me down a lot. My second name is Shalom. Now, I never connected to my name. I didn't understand what does peace have to do with my name, until I came into Yeshiva, and then the Rosh Yeshiva taught me how to, you know, tune it down, calm down a bit. Okay, I was very feisty at that time, and after I ate my kazais of bread, I went to sit next to him. And I said to him, I understand that the rabbi, now he was about 16 years old, I understand that the rabbi, since he commented about the way I wash my hands, the rabbi is obviously well versed in all of Shas and all of Shulchan Aruch by heart, and knows all the minhagim. He says to me, well, no, not really. I said to him, well, I understand at least the rabbi is well versed in all the minhagim of Netilas Yadayim. At least those simonim, because the rabbi said that my minhag was I'm an ignoramus and that's a minhag I've invented. And I'm said, am I right, rabbi? And he said, well, not really. And actually, I'm not really a rabbi, I'm just a young man. I said to him, well, do you at least learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? He said, no, not really. I said to him, listen, I said this in front of all of his friends. I said to him, listen to what you just now said. You have just now testified that you are an absolute idiot. You're an ignoramus, you know nothing, and you're an idiot. Why are you an idiot? Because that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Gam evil macharish lechacham yichashev." Even an idiot, when he's silent, will be considered to be someone wise, but when you open your mouth, everyone can see you're an idiot. I said to him, you don't know halacha, you don't know hilchos nitzeis hadayim, you didn't even read Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and yet a minhag that's written specifically in the Kitzur that I go about, you've just now published to all your friends that I'm an ignoramus, there's no source. I said to him, you've got to go and ask Mechilif in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, because in that way about his minhag. He turned white. Now, I had a big debate whether I did the right thing or not, because this is a Mabim Tnei Chavurot Rabbim. I mean, I embarrassed him in public. And I went to one of my rabbis, and he said, wonderful, he said, you did very well. He said, you were too delicate. I said to him, Rabbi, why? He said to him, because this idiot wasn't speaking about you. He was speaking about a holy minhag that you didn't hold by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What happens if someone in his house has a minhag with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but he doesn't know the source of that minhag? He'd hear this young man saying what he said, and he'd stop washing his hands the way he washed his hands. Could he be embarrassed? He'd think there's no source for that. So my rabbi said to him, very good. That's the way you should have done. Now, I think that today if I would have gone to Rav Arush and asked him, should I have done that? The answer would have been a bit different. But then again, those were different times. I was a different person and I had different rabbis and things have changed. So I'm bringing to you all the different halachas about Netilas Yadayim after one goes out of the bathroom. There are even some that hold that you don't even have to wash your hands using a vessel. You can simply open the tap and clean your hands. Rav Mashash, Rav Shalom Mashash Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the chief rabbi here of Yerushalayim up to 10 years ago, and he was the head, the eldest of the Moroccan rabbis, that's how he passed in his shul. He says, there's no negative Holy Spirit, there's no negative spiritual influence in the bathroom, therefore there's no reason to wash your hands with a vessel. The only thing you've got to do is clean your hands. Hygiene is also something important in Yiddishkeit. So therefore, wash your hands as you come out with a tap. So if you see someone going to the bathroom and not washing his hands with a vessel, just opening the tap, taking some soap and washing his hands, don't say anything. That is a holy source he paskens according to Rav Shalom Hashash. So that I'm giving you all these different shitas. Be very careful whenever you comment about someone else's minhag. You never know what the source is and why he's doing what he's doing. Another thing we spoke about there last time, we're just going to repeat it. Even when you come out of the bathroom, according to most poskim, even if you just walked through the bathroom, give an example, the bathroom is a corridor leading to the porch, and on the porch is your washing machine. According to most poskim, you still have to wash your hands after being in the bathroom. Rav Shlomo Zalman Neubach holds, you do not have to wash your hands because the bathroom is clean today, especially the toilet seat, especially if the toilet lid is down. Now, why are we saying all this? The best thing for everyone to have in their house is to make sure that they have a sink outside the bathroom. A sink where they can wash their hands. Now, in most normal flats, that's what you have. Because even if you don't have a sink right outside the bathroom, you at least have a sink inside the kitchen. So you can go wash your hands in the kitchen. Most people, and this is because they don't know the halacha, or maybe even a bit out of laziness, will wash their hands in the bathroom. We should know, washing the hands in the bathroom is not advisable. One only does that if we have no other choice. What we should do is, and that's the preferable thing to do is, after one's been in the bathroom, you go out, you either go to a sink outside the bathroom if you have it, or you go to the sink in your kitchen. Now, especially if that's in Yerushalayim, one can't say it's going to take you too long. You see, if you were living in a mansion in America, or in an apartment in South Africa, where the average size of an apartment is, let's say, 400 or 500 square meters, and then you've got to say, oh, well, Rabbi, you know, the bathroom's at that corner, and the sink in the kitchen is that corner, by the time I go, I can finish Tikkun HaKlal. Then we can start already speaking about whether you can wash your hands in the bathroom. But apartments in Yerushalayim are not exactly that way. Because in 500 square meters, then you have 10 different units, each one of them divided into three, rented to families with 6 children, as you know what happens in Yerushalayim. Okay? And we haven't even spoken about what goes on in the basement level. So in Yerushalayim, there's not an excuse. You can wash your hands after you've gone to the bathroom, go to the outside sink, or wash your hands inside, in the bathroom, in the sink that's right there, in the sink that's in the kitchen. Okay? I do not want to continue the next halachas, okay? Because we are now going to be next week, Thursday, Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to be having a shiur. I'm flying on Sunday. We're going to be start speaking about how to prepare ourselves for davening. So we have now 3 minutes left. Are there any questions applying to the shiur before we will do our before we'll have a, no. Are there any questions? Yes.
Suffolk derisa, saying the bracha because of Torah.
Oh, very good question. There are two brachas that we know that are only that all the brachas are from Drabona. In other words, Chachamim are the ones who dictate to the God of Bless, except for two brachas. One is Birkas Hamazon, because Birkas Hamazon specifically says, it says in Parshas Kitovon, what does it say? Ve'achalta ve'savata uverachta et Hashem Elokecha. You eat, you're full, now you've got a bench for Hashem, you've got to praise Hashem. The second bracha is, we've got a bench for Birkas HaTorah, which is also the Raisa. So we asked a very good shayla. Birkas HaTorah is in the Torah. The rule of Svet Brachot Le'akel, whenever in doubt with a bracha, you don't say it, is because most brachas are drabona. Birkas HaTorah, if it's a Torah, when anything that's got to do with the Torah, when you have a doubt, the Gemara says in Tractate Beitza, on the third page, second side, that Sofek Doraisa Le'achmir. When you have a doubt in saying Doraisa, it's got to be Machmir. So a question is asked. If Birkas HaTorah Doraisa, then why don't we say them after davening? It's a doubt. It's Doraisa. We've got to be Machmir, say them. The reason is, if you wouldn't have said anything after davening, you're right. But according to most poskim, the minute you said Ava Rabba, you're Yoitze, Birkas HaTorah. So the topic now is not whether you said or not said Birkas HaTorah, and in that case, you have to say them again, because Birkas HaTorah, which is in the Torah, the bracha is from the Oraisa. In case you're in doubt whether you said it or you didn't say it, you have to repeat it again. Here, the doubt is whether you already are exempt of saying it, because you've said something parallel. You've said, Ava Rabba, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving the Torah. So in that case, we're not going to say Birkas HaTorah. Yes?
If your shir team, your toilet is in a separate room, can you still go through the bathroom? It's just a bathtub and a sink?
If it's just a bathtub and a sink, that's no problem whatsoever. You don't even have to wash your hands when you enter that. In other words, if you have in your room, in your apartment, a separate toilet in one small room, and then the bigger bathroom only consists of a bathtub and a sink, there's no problem. The bathtub and the sink, the whole problem is where the toilet seat is. If it's just a bathtub and a sink, you can go through there, you don't even have to wash your hands. Of course, after when a person takes a shower, a person has got to wash his hands again, because we will shower also after we bathe ourselves. It applies the same thing to mikveh. A person goes to mikveh, has got to wash his hands after that. But if you're just walking through the room with a bathtub and a sink, no, you don't have to wash your hands at all. Yes? Indeed, a comment is made, which that comment is actually made by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that if you have your toilet and your bathroom is a passage to go to the porch where you have your washing machine or your dryer or anything else, preferable at all times to leave the toilet seat down. And that, which Shlomo Zalman writes it specifically, it's preferable, it's considered, it's much now, you can be much more lenient on washing your hands. We have one last question. Yes?
The bracha on the Tefillah Tadar have to be made directly after washing the first time, or do you make the bracha on a second or third
time? Does the bracha of Tefillah Tadar have to be immediately after the first time? We spoke about this last week, and we said that you're not even allowed to make the bracha. In the morning, we said you're supposed to have the negel vaser right next to your bed. But you're not allowed to make the bracha because, one, your mouth isn't clean, two, your body isn't clean. So therefore, if you're already waiting, you can wait, and before davening, you say all the Birkos HaShachar together. Our time is up. Now it is...
Okay, I have announcements to make after the drawing. I do have a few announcements to make, but so we'll close to the rabbi's time. We're going to have the drawing.